Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our celebration of Reformation and then the Feast of All Saints took us away from the book of Hebrews for a couple of weeks anyway. But today and next week give us the opportunity to finish the closing section of this book. So today we look at Hebrews chapter 9, the last couple of verses of which were the reading for this morning. But the chapter really goes all the way together. See, Hebrews 9 opens with a description of Israel's tabernacle, Israel's temple. In the first section of the temple, well, that's where the incense was, and the lampstand, the bread of the presence. It was called the holy place. But there was a curtain. And behind the curtain in the temple was a second section, the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, in which was the Ark of the Covenant, and above it, cherubim of gold standing guard. Now the priests would regularly go into the first section, performing their daily ritual duties, but only the high priest would go into the second section, and he would only do that once a year. And when he went, he had to take atoning blood, which he offered for himself and for the sin of the people. And so Hebrews says, we see that the way to the holy place was not yet open, not as long as there were two sections in the temple. For as long as that first section was standing, most people didn't have access to the presence of God. You certainly couldn't go there. I couldn't go there. Only the high priest could go there. And not whenever he felt like it, but only once a year. Most people could not stand before the face of God. There was separation, and there was division. But, as Hebrews continues, when Christ appeared as the great high priest, he entered once and for all the holy place of the greater tent, the more perfect temple, one that is not part of this creation, one not made by Moses or Solomon or Zerubbabel or any human hands. Now, Jesus entered heaven itself to appear before God on our behalf. And he entered not with the blood of bulls or goats, but by means of his own blood. And since the blood was an eternal blood, it secured for us an eternal redemption. And so Hebrews 9 points us to the true worship of our Lord. It does not begin with earthly buildings. It's not a matter of merely earthly hands doing earthly things. It does not really rely on the blood of earthly animals, the performance of earthly rituals and ceremonies. We're so easily tempted to think that way, though. We're so easily tempted to think of worship primarily as an earthbound endeavor. So easily tempted to see worship as the time and the place where we come and offer something to God. We're tempted to believe that when we come to church, we do so only to do the things required of us by God. To offer our tithes, to pray, offer our prayers, to confess our sin. So easily tempted to believe that what happens in this room is primarily an earth-to-heaven transaction. If I offer the right things to God, God will return the favor. And he'll bless me with forgiveness or some other earthly blessings. We're so easily tempted to think only about the earthly things, the external things. And so our hearts are like that of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes, who live for the greetings in the marketplaces, and who lust after the seats of honor in the synagogues and at the feasts. Now for us, maybe we just want to put the bumper stickers on our car, to wear the right clothes, to listen to the right music so that everyone in the marketplace of our lives knows just how righteous we are, and they see just how godly we are. But Jesus sees through it all. Jesus sees through the show. He sees through the large sums of money placed in the temple treasury. He sees right through the grandstanding. He who saw the poor widow's heart, he sees our hearts too. We're so easily tempted to think only about the earthly and the external things. And so Hebrews reminds us that while the blood of goats and bulls might sanctify for the purification of the flesh, only the blood of Christ will purify the inside. Only the blood of Christ purify the conscience. That's the gift our Lord has for us. A clean conscience. And what a great gift that is. For without a clean conscience, we cannot rightly hear or understand God's word. As one of my professors put it, without a clear conscience, we either see God as an indulgent grandfather who ruffles our hair, shakes his head and chuckles as he ignores the reality of our sin, or we invent a God who is unfair, unreasonable, demanding, and angry with us and this creation. Or to use more traditional Lutheran language, approaching the word of God with a guilty conscience ends either in pride or in despair. Pride, if we've fooled ourselves into thinking that we've done enough to earn our own righteousness, and despair when we realize that we haven't, and that we can't. So Hebrews reminds us that the right worship of God actually cleanses our conscience. It's the blood of Christ that does it. I once heard a pastor compare the conscience to a window. When you look through a dirty window, everything outside looks dirty. And so you clean the window. But when you clean the window, that doesn't mean everything outside looks clean. It means you can see everything outside for what it really is. So also our conscience. When our conscience is dirty, the world around us looks dirty. When our conscience is covered with despair, we can't help but live in despair at all that we see around us. Despair over politics, despair over culture, despair over this, despair over that. When the conscience is caked with despair, everything becomes a cause for despair. Or pride. When the conscience is covered with pride, we become prideful. When the conscience overcompensates for its guilt with arrogance, we look at ourselves and the world around us with arrogance. We justify horrible words and actions by telling ourselves that we're right, that the other person deserved it. A dirty conscience blinds us to reality. It distorts our view of reality. So the gift our Lord gives us is a clean conscience, one that allows us to see reality for what it is. One that allows me to see that I am by nature sinful and unclean. That we all are. And so in worship, with the clean conscience, we gather to hear God's word, acknowledging that when we come here to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of Jesus and the fellowship of this altar, it is right to first consider our unworthiness and to confess our sin. We don't need to lie about it. There's no need to. We don't need to try to hide it from God. He already knows. No, our conscience is clean. We see reality for what it is. We see our sin for what it is, and we confess it. And we see our Lord for who he is. We take refuge in his infinite mercy. Not because we're so deserving, but because he is so loving. And then our Lord forgives our sin. Not because of the blood of goats and bulls offered in the Old Testament temple, but because of the blood of Jesus, which purifies us from all unrighteousness. So Hebrews points us to the blood of Jesus. The blood of the New Testament, the blood of the New Covenant, established by Jesus' death, by which he gives to us an eternal inheritance. It's his blood that redeems us from slavery to sin. It's his blood that sets us free. And it's his blood that purifies our conscience for service to the living God. Indeed, as Hebrews says, under the law, almost everything was purified by blood. The ark was, so was the lampstand, the altar, the priests, even the people. They were all of them purified with blood. But as today's reading says, it was necessary for the earthly copies of the heavenly sanctuary to be purified with the blood of animals, but the heavenly reality needed something more. And so Jesus entered the sanctuary of heaven to appear before the presence of God on our behalf. With his blood. He is the great high priest. He is the true offering, and his blood brings us true cleansing. And because his offering was acceptable to God, the curtain of separation in the temple was torn in two, top to bottom. There is no more separation. There is no more division. It's all because of the blood of Jesus. And that blood of Jesus is for you. The blood of Jesus makes you clean. And so the church throughout all the ages has gathered around the blood of Christ. It's here for you today, not to be sprinkled on your clothing, not to be sprinkled on your forehead or on your hands, but on your heart. It cleanses us not from the outside in, from the inside out. It cleanses the heart. It cleanses the conscience. It cleanses our sight, our outlook. It's one of the major themes in the book of Hebrews. Jesus fulfills and improves the gifts of the Old Testament. His word is greater than that of the prophets and the angels because their words simply pointed to him. And his blood is better than the blood of animals because it's eternal blood. And his cleansing is better than the Old Testament cleansing, for he cleanses the heart and he cleanses your conscience. And so as today's reading emphasizes, Christ will appear a second time. And when he does, it's not going to be to deal with sin. No, he has already done that. When he appears a second time, it will be to save those who are waiting for him. Or in the words of the Nicene Creed, we look for the resurrection of the dead, and we wait for the life to come, because that's the last promise to be fulfilled. Our Lord has already appeared in the flesh to pay for our sin on the cross. He's already appeared before the Father in the heavenly places to offer his blood for our cleansing, and he will come again on the last day to deliver us from eternal death, to usher us into the new creation. That's the gift of Jesus' blood. That's the gift of a clean conscience. That's the comfort and the promise that Hebrews puts before us today. So as we once again gather around the blood of Jesus to be cleansed by it, that's the comfort and the promise that will sustain us throughout this life into the life to come. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.